Okay, we'll learn some Devarei Torah from some of the great Gedolim from America on Parshas Vayishlach, B'siyata D'Shmaya. We'll begin this week with an idea from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Livracha, in Parshas Vayishlach that's found in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav by Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, which is full of Devarei Hashkafa, Devarei Halacha, and Devarei Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. And he has one piece back here in Parshas Vayishlach, very, very Yesodistic. It's coming a little bit later in the Parsha, in the end of the fourth Aliyah, after the encounter with Esau, which we'll discuss in some other Divrei Torah, Mirtz Hashem. But once Yaakov finally gets past his encounter with Sarah Shel Esav and his encounter with Esav, and finally he's able to come in peace and safety to Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah records that he comes to Ir Shechem, and he establishes his home there. And that last pasuk of the Aliyah, pasuk is Paraga Lamed Gimel pasuk Chaf, Vayatzev Sham Mizbeach. Yaakov Avinu built a Mizbeach, Vayikra Lo El Elohei Yisrael, and he called it, or he called him, Kael Elokei Yisrael, Kael, God, the God of Israel. So Rashi brings a few different pshatim in this pasuk. Who is calling what? So the first pshat that Rashi says is regarding the mizbeach that Yaakov built. Again, Yaakov is building a mizbeach to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu, to give Hakar Satov, to express his gratitude for finally making it home after such a long journey, being on the run. From way back in Parshas Toldos. So he's coming, he's finally back home, and he has his family, and he's back in the Eretz Yisrael, back in the Eretz Ha'avos. And he builds a Mizbech to give Hakar Satov and to give Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so Rashi says that this Mizbech, it was this mizbeach that the pasuk is referring to. But says Rashi, "Lo sham mizbeach karui Elokei Yisrael, el al shem shaya Hakadosh Baruch Hu imo v'hitzilo kara shem hamizbeach al shem hanes." He didn't call the mizbeach Kel Elokei Yisrael. He referred to the mizbeach as a hechitimza, as an object of giving gratitude to Hashem for the miracle that occurred. The Yoshiv Choshomakom Nizkar B'Kriyas Hashem. Klomar Misha Hu Kel Hu Akadosh Baruch Hu Hu Lelokim Leli Sheshmi Yisrael. That the one who is Kel, meaning the one who is God, the one who is the ruler of reality, that is Akadosh Baruch Hu Hu Lelokim Li Sheshmi Yisrael. He is my God, and I am Israel. That's how he says the first pshat. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. And then he brings a similar pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu that not that it was a reference to calling the object, calling the mizbeach Hashem, rather it's just an object which brings about a praise of Hashem. But then Rashi brings another pshat, which is much more exciting and a little bit jaw-dropping, to say the least. Says Rashi, V'raboseinu darshu sh'akadosh baruch hu karu liyakov kel. And this is from the Rashi's bringing this from the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Ches, that has a parenthesis in the Rashi over here, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu calls Yaakov Kael at this moment. At this moment, finally, when Yaakov is back home with his family, with the Shvatim, with safety in Eretz Yisrael, finally, once again reestablished, Hashem is calling Yaakov Kael, and if Soloveitchik is going to deal with Avi's question, what does such a thing mean? So let's learn together from the words of Rav Schachter, the Dvar Torah that he brings from Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik says the following. V'kas of Rashi, Rav Seinu, Darsh, Rosh Baruch, Karo Yaakov, Kael, Vayin, Ramban, Shesh, Bezeh, Inyan, Azeh, Sod, Gadol. The Ramban has on this that there's a big sod, there's a big secret in this Inyan. And he also references that there's a Medrash in Breishis Rabbah that has the same idea that what? Amar lo, ata eloka belyonim, vani eloka betachtonim. Yirmazu Lamashem Omrim Tamid Sheikun Sheikonin Shalyakov Chakuka Bekisei HaKavod. And that Yaakovinu said, "You are the God above, and I am the God below." Referencing the famous idea that Yaakov Avinu's face was chakuk, was inscribed, was chiseled into the Kisei HaKavod, is chiseled into the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens above. Again, the Medrash is referencing the similar idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kael above and Yaakov is Kael below. What in the world is the meaning of this? Says Rav Shalavitchik, the following mahalach, the following approach, interpretation with a very, very important message for us. Says Rav, V'nir lefarish bekavanaso shekol musar hayadus halohu miyusar al mitzvah halachta bedrachav. This is something that's, I'm not such an expert at all. I'm not any type of expert of the writings and the philosophy of the Rav. I love the philosophy and the writings of the Rav. I hope to try to continue to learn more over the course of my lifetime, but an idea that I have heard many times in the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, is that one of the fundamental, if not the fundamental tenet of Yiddishkeit is V'halachta B'drachav, She'yidme Adam L'dmidoso Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we should live our lives trying to imitate, trying to emulate God. Ela, She'yesh B'zeh Koshi Gadol. But obviously, there's a massive challenge in this regard. How exactly are we supposed to emulate God? Like the Gemara asks famously, how in the world are we supposed to, to any extent, emulate God, emulate the ways of God? God is a devouring fire. He's so beyond us. He's so ethereal, supernatural, spiritual, beyond this, totally incomprehensible for us. And any bit of comprehension of God or approaching or getting close to God, he's an Eish Ochle, he's devouring fire, the overwhelming intensity of experiencing God is so overwhelming. How are we supposed to follow in that way? V'al zeh horunu chachameinu sheyisa bas talmud chacham v'yasi bito talmud chacham. And regarding this in, of emulating and becoming close to and trying to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal give us clear marching orders, clear advice and guidance and halachos and hanhagos and ways in which we should live and actualize this idea of emulating God. How so? By connecting to Talmidei Chachamim, by marrying a daughter of a Talmud Chacham, by marrying our own daughters to a Talmud Chacham, klomar and v'chulei, meaning other such expressions of coming closer to Talmidei Chachamim, to great people, to pious people, to wise people, to scholarly people. Klomar sha'ofen kiyum mitzvah zu, says the Rav, the way in which we're mekayim this mitzvah, lihidabek biyoda'av. Yes, it's true, we cannot cling to God Himself. That's too overwhelming, that's too incalculable, that's too intense, it's too humbling, it's a non-starter. However, there are people in this world that are great, great people, wise people, holy people, scholarly people, people with incredible clarity and incredible wisdom, and people who have Torah in their minds, Torah in their hearts, people who have brilliance and values and ethics and morals, and that their lives are an emulation of the Darkei Hashem, of the ways of God. Clinging to those people is a kiyum, is a way in which we can actualize, we can fulfill emulating God, connecting to God. Why? So the Rav is now going to give many, many examples. Shehinia tfilos, because we have tfila, and who made tfila? Avos tiknum. V'zeh yesh lanu lilmud mehem. So we should follow in the footsteps of the Avos to daven, just like the Avos daven. And Yitzchak made himself mucham la'akeda. And menu yesh lanu lilmud inyan mesiris nefesh. We should follow Yitzchak's inyan mesiris nefesh, being willing, we spoke about this, being willing and prepared to sacrifice ourselves for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Yaakov Amar v'chol asher titin li'aser esrenu lach. Menu yishlumod goli na tzedakah. Yaakov declared in Parshas Vayetze his willingness and preparedness to give over of his own wealth for the needs of others, l'shem shamayim, and we should follow in his footsteps for the, to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. And also the mitzvah of the hanhaga, the practice of making kabbalas, making oaths, making taking upon ourselves in hard times that we want to dedicate ourselves further to Hashem and to His Torah and to becoming greater and more actualized and developed individuals. Yosef, the incredible control that Yosef showed, that he didn't take revenge from his brothers. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we should learn the midas havlanus, that Moshe was patient and willing to accept the Jewish people to see their good on Kal Yisrael over and over again. Biography, in the words of the Rav, such a beautiful Yiddish English harmony. From their biography, will the Shechina vart afge eshvegelt von die Gedolim mitoch tolus chayem ki hashpas Shechina nikeres umit parsemet mitoch orchos chayehem v'hainu shekaru kadosh baruch hu liyakov kel. Says the Rav, what's the inyan? The inyan is that yes, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the kel be'elyonim. God is the God above. His divinity and his spiritual infinity is supreme and overwhelming and incredible. But that can only really be appreciated be'elyonim. The Malachi Asharis can approach Hashem and can be the Talmidim of Hashem in the Yeshiva Shomala. But down here, we can't even begin to comprehend the godless and the malchus and the, all the midos and all of the infinite profound greatness of God Himself. So what is our march? What is our direction? What's the source of our leadership, of our guidance, of our advice, of our role models here in this world? The gedolim, the tzaddikim, from their biographies, from their lives, from their lifestyles, from their behaviors, from their actions, from their decisions, from their guidance, that's the kel betachtonim. This is the meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov kel, she'al yado yeforsam shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's through Yaakov's life he became a kel betachtonim. And this is what it means, that the most divno shel Yaakov is chakuka hi al kisei hakavod. That Yaakov's demus is both above and here below, and when we follow him, we are also emulating God Himself, right? And that's why being mizdabik b'talmid chachamim and connecting to great people, connecting to tzaddikim, connecting to people that we look up to and that we want to have as role models in our lives, that's not only a personal guide, but it's also a way of connecting to Hashem Himself, because there's a godliness in tzaddikim, in gedolim, in talmid chachamim that they have, that Hashem dafka put down here, because God Himself is so overwhelming. How are we supposed to connect to God Himself? But we have a kel betachtonim, and that's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov kel, and the Rav says that this is true not only by Yaakov, but by Avram and Yitzchak and Yosef and Moshe and gedolim and tzaddikim throughout all the generations. And when we emulate them, we follow them, we follow their role, we follow their example, and we follow their midos, their characteristics and attributes, and we try to live our life in their footsteps. So that is a way of emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the meaning of kel betachtonim over here. The Rav then continues in a second little piece of this Torah. that's related, not as directly, but it's maybe more of a one specific mida to follow in the footsteps of Gedolim. He says that the Rav would quote the pasuk of Zeh Shemila Olam, that Chazal Darshan Zeh Shemila Olam Sheheh Shem HaMefurash B'Ha'alama, that Zeh Shemila Olam, Olam could be, this is my name forever, but it could also be read Olam is Lashon of Ha'alama, of hiddenness, namely that God chooses to make his name hidden. V'hi midas hatznius shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu behelem, helem means hidden. So God's name is hidden. Why? Because part of God, one of God's midos is his tznius, is his hiddenness. Shu yoshi b'seiser, because God sits hiddenness, right? As we said, the whole previous idea was how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden from us. He's beyond us, right? He does not reveal himself to us. He through his tzaddikim, we learn how to emulate him. But he himself, he is hidden from us. He is yoshi b'seiser, as we say in the pasuk, and arafel sisro, and he's surrounded by this fog. V'asher l'fika chumeitz min acharakim, he peers out of the lattice work. Shehistirs atzmo olamo, but he himself is hidden. V'lo chatam et shemo al chiburo el asan b'ofen inami. Right, he says, beautiful, and I think very typical of Soloveitchik type of speaking. Right, he didn't sign his artwork. Right, this world, which is the artwork of God, he didn't even sign it. He didn't put his signature. It's anonymous. Vasheral Kane Efsher Lakiro Me'ateva, and the Rav says, you look at nature, you don't know God by definition by looking at nature. Vasheral Kane Shunikar Melech Mislabish Basar Levushim. He's dressed and he's hidden in all of his levushim. Shum Mustar Mikol. He's completely hidden. God doesn't reveal himself. Now, it's true that we believe, the Rambam famously says, and certainly nowadays it's important, we do believe that nature is a fantastic way, a fantastic derech of encountering God. But it's not obviously revealed. It only will come about, unless you're an Avram Avinu who's able to see it, and that was the greatness and the chiddush of Avram Avinu, and a person can, with the proper meditation, find God in that hiddenness. But that's again, that's a profound level. But for those of us who are not, you know, thinking and meditating in the way Avram Avinu was, or in that very very focused way. Nature for sure can be a way of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's only on the backdrop, it's only with the foundation of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Breishis Bara Elokim, knowing that God is the creator of the world and he is there and he wants us to find him there. But to discover him on our own is very challenging. That's what the Rav means over here, that God is hidden. And therefore, this hiddenness of God, this tznius that he has, that's one of Hashem's midos, and it continues the Rav, Chochachma Yisrael Nagu B'mida Zu. This, just like Hashem is a tzanua, and he doesn't show off, right? The Nisim are like the famous Ramban in the Parshas Bo, that Hashem runs the world through Nisim Nistarim, and it's only rarely times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Nisim Gluyim, revealed miracles, and he will, you know, open up the curtains of reality and say, Shalom Aleichem, here I am, but, right, and that's what we celebrate in Pesach, and Shavuos, and Sukkot, the Nisim Gluyim, that happened during the early stages of our history, and certainly the days of Beis HaMikdash, there were Nisim Gluyim, but for the bulk of history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzanua, and he's hidden. And it's up to us to find him. And he says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, so too, this is one of the things that tzaddikim have always, one of the dimensions of elokus, of godliness, that tzaddikim have always emulated. Namely, that what? Sherabbeinu haya ma'od mekurv la'aviv hagarim of Moshe. He quotes the Rav, who's very, very close to his father, of Moshe Soloveitchik. V'kilu menu kol torosav, and he learned so much Torah, he learned all this Torah from his father, of Moshe Soloveitchik. He didn't know him personally. He didn't know his personal life. He was so tzanua. He was so modest. He was so personal. He was so independent. He was so private, as what I'm looking for, that the Rav didn't really know him in his personal life, because that wasn't, from that perspective, from even his own son. He was a very tzanua individual, and he kept his own life very, very private. The Afa Gern of Moshe, and of Moshe, the son of Lo Yada Mu'umay, the Afa Gern of Chaim, Moshe Soloveitchik, son of Chaim Soloveitchik, Shalom Bracha, also didn't know about the personal life of his Abba, the great Reb Chaim. V'chein ha'yadavar etzel kol gedolei Yisrael, ha'tanayim, rishenim, ha'chronim, delimon ha'tero tzelchim, b'farhesil in kol, ma'she'en kein chayev ha'pratim, mutav she'etzanua bazeh k'midosav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to personal life, when it comes right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us His Torah, and He reveals to us Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, and He reveals to us all of the depths of His Torah. But His Atzmius is hidden, right? Maybe the Rav is talking about, maybe the Rav is making reference to schools of thought in Torah, Chassidus, Pnimius, Kabbalah, where there is a more emphasis on learning about the Atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the essence of God. Even though the Rav certainly did. At certain points of his life, speak about the Indian of learning Primus HaTorah and learning Sefer Baal HaTanya, Torah Or, Likutei Torah, which is a focus on the world of Nistar, the hidden world, the Primus, talking about God and talking about the inner workings of God and revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But be it as it may, in essence, in first glance, for sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, and one of the ways that tzaddikim emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through hiddenness and tznius and modesty. Teaching Torah, yes, being guides, giving guidance and advice and values and ethics and morals and das Torah, and revealing truth to the world, absolutely. But in terms of their own personal life, tznius, modesty, humility, behind closed doors, nothing to show off, nothing to air out in public, etc. So two unbelievable ideas over here from the Rav, namely one, that yes, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so above and beyond, disconnected from anything that we could ever use as a real example in our life, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Vayikra Yaakov Kael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov Kael B'tachtonim. He gave us tzaddikim down here in this world to be for us guides and role models here in this world for us to actually use and emulate and follow in their footsteps. And that's the inyan of being mizdabik to tzaddikim. And then the second idea, that one of the main midos of Hashem is his midah of tznius, and that's a midah that tzaddikim follow, and certainly a midah that we should all strive to follow. And in our own lives, try certainly nowadays in the world of social media, in the world of everybody, not everybody, but it's in certainly to live your life in a public eye. Just think about what we share, what we don't share, the inyan of tznius. And I think these two yesodos, these two ideas, these two lessons are something that we can certainly see as critical ideas the Rav is giving to specifically the Torah community of America in the 20th century. The inyan of choosing who our role models are, choosing the people that we emulate and that we follow in their footsteps, and what posters we hang up on our wall, who we want to be like. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us great, great people in the world. And not necessarily talking about the inyan of gedolim and famous tzaddikim, but even local communal great people, even the simple three times a day minyan Jews and the people dedicated to communal charity work and caring for those less fortunate, people who are literally emulating the ways of God in their daily lives, to find those people and to follow in their footsteps, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Kel B'Tachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Yaakov Avinus to be able to have as role models, and just to think long and hard about who are our role models in our lives. And next, the meat of tznius, how important tznius is, especially in this day and age. Tznius is one of the mitos of God, and certainly it's something that we can think about how we publicly display our lives. With a time left, we'll just an idea from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, going back a little earlier in the parsha to the beginning of the parsha, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, on the first Rashi of the parsha, where Yaakov is sending Malachim. Malachim obviously means angels, but sometimes it could mean just a messenger. A malach can mean a messenger. But Rashi points out Malachim Mamish. Rashi says that Yaakov sent Malachim Mamish, actual real angels. Unlike Rabbi Yaakov quotes over here in the beginning that the Ibn Ezra that really know it was the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that they really were people, they were messengers, and it was a military, you know, it was a military scout in order to prepare for this encounter with Esav, and Lav Dafka Malachim Mamish. But Rabbi Yaakov wonders why would Yaakov Avinu have to have sent Malachim Mamish. So because of time, we'll just jump to the main idea that Rabbi Yaakov says, and he says it over here in Parshat Vayishlach, page Kupayin Zayin, in Emes Yaakov, the bottom right of the page. V'nir b'zeh l'fi ma'shehi v'si l'el parshas toldos es divrei ha'malim shekamana segitzchak litin es ha'brachos l'isa v'isa mishum sh'ratzel l'asu shutz b'in esab l'yakov k'moshe ashut v'sh'isa b'in yisachar v'zvulin. As we learned, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had this mahalach in general about his vision between the relationship of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav would have a partnership. Maybe it's a true vision of Lasid Lavo that you know, we certainly hope and pray for a time when there will be complete harmony in all of mankind, when the place of all men will be revealed and will be respected and appreciated, Klal Yisrael in our place and the nations of the world in their place, but all getting together with understanding our role and appreciating one another in the greater picture of, you know, picturing the Lion King, you know, the circle of life and all of the different pieces of humanity. Halavai, we should be zochah to see it soon. But Yaakov had that vision for... Yitzchak Avinu had that vision for Yaakov and Esav and how they would get along. And the Malbim said, like Yisachar and Zvulun, that more spiritual, financial relationship, but each one appreciating the other. Yaakov would be the one engaged in spirituality and holiness, and Esav would be the one who would be dealing with the foundation, the material aspect of life, etc. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Ulafiza, near the Iker Kavanasu Shiakov, Bishlucho Shal Esa Malachim, Lois Aliros im Esav mit Ateid, let's say the Krato, the Zayada Beberusha, love the Fakir Wildegum at Mesav. Yaakov didn't need to send out angels in order to know about the war. Yaakov would know very well if there's going to be a showdown, if there's going to be a fight, if there's going to be a battle between him and Esav, his family and Esav's family. He didn't need to send the angels for that. If he's going to worry, to prepare for battle, anything in this world, scouts or preparations, could be done without, you know, in engaging, you know, his team of angels. Why did Yaakov send the angels? Ela savar Yaakov sheulai achshav higia hazman bo titkayem kavanaso shel Yitzchak shehu ve'esav yiyu shutafim b'inyanei olam hazev olam haba. Yaakov said, maybe finally, after all of this time, when I'm about to reunite with my long-lost brother, maybe finally we can take our places in this great picture, and we can once again reunite as a team, and we don't need to fight anymore. We don't need to face off. We don't need to have any hard feelings, and we can reunite each of us with our own koach, each of us with our own contribution to the great picture of humanity, the great picture of the world. Yaakov, obviously contributing the spiritual dimension, and Esav contributing the physical, material, financial dimension. Ve'im kein efshar sha'av shelivnei adam hayanir she'Esav mitatid lilachim la'rogus Yaakov to people. They would see Esav, they would see his encampment, they would see his soldiers, they would see his whole entourage. They would see, obviously, this is a guy ready for a fight, ready for a battle. Aval, kan haya tzarich Yaakov l'malachim. But this is the reason why Dafka Yaakov sent malachim, he sent angels. Why? Mamish, l'malachim mamish, kedei lachdor l'toch omek machshavto shel Esav, kedei l'avchin b'toch toch yuto. Why did Yaakov need to send angels, says Rav Yaakov? Because angels would be able to look deep down inside of the thoughts and feelings, into the heart of Esav. They would be able to peer into his inner reality and see, is he ready? Is this possibly now, have we gotten to the point where he really wants connection? He really wants a relationship. He really wants to have this partnership. He's ready to have peace and harmony and true brotherhood in life. And people wouldn't be able to see that. People wouldn't be able to look in Esav's heart, look in his mind, to look in his inner world. Malachim have that ability. Malachim are spiritual beings, and they could see into the spiritual makeup of a person. Says Yaakov Kanetsky, that's why Yaakovinu had to send angels to look into Esav, to see if maybe there's a chance. Maybe Esav's ready. Maybe Esav's ready to come around. He's ready for peace. He's ready for love. He's ready for connection. He's ready for rectification and unification. And that's why Yaakov sends the angels. At the very end over here, Yaakov Kavanesky says, "And see what I say later in Pasuk Chav Gimel." What does Yaakov? What happens later in Pasuk Chav Gimel? This is Perek Lamed Beis in Bereishis. So that's where Rashi points out. This is in the Emes LeYaakov, a bunch of pages later, on page. On page Kufpei Beis in the bottom left, where Rashi points out that Yaakov showed his 11 children, and Rashi says, what about Dina? Right, we know that Yaakov had 12 children. Right, Dina was already born. Right, he didn't have 12 sons. Binyamin's not born yet, but he had 12 children. Why wasn't Dina there? So Rashi famously points out to us from Chazal that Yaakov Avinu put Dina in some sort of teva, in some sort of protective case covering, and locked her in there in order so that she wouldn't see Esav and Esav wouldn't see her, and nothing would happen between Dina and Esav. But Yaakov, Barashi says that Yaakovina was punished. Yaakov was punished for not showing Dina to Esav. Why? Because perhaps had Esav and Dina met, perhaps Dina could have been that koach. Dina could have been that force. She could have been that great influence on Esav to inspire him, to awaken him, to bring him to goodness, to bring him to want this rectification and this reunification with his brother Yaakov. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says over here. Va'od nir lomar al pi ma shehaveti bereisha parshas divrei hamalbim sheYaakov hiskim lasot shutvus nitzchis beinu levein Esav. Yaakov wanted rectification. He wanted to have this partnership. He wanted reconnection. He wanted to be on the same page based on this idea from the Malbim. Yaakov must have believed that Esav wasn't really that bad. So he should have allowed Dina to marry him. And Rav Yaakov points out that's a little brazen, you know. Let your daughter marry, let Dina marry Esav. What's the big deal? So Rav Yaakov points out, you know why he can say something like that? So he continues based on Chazal, just say it outside for the sake of time, that according to one school of thought in Chazal from the Gemara in Bava Basra, Yaakov allowed Dina to marry Eov, who was not even Jewish. Esav at least was from the Zera Avram, and Yaakov allowed Dina to marry Eov, according to one understanding in Bava Basra, Daf Tezvav Amid Beis. So if Yaakov was willing to allow Dina to marry Eov, so then it's not such a stretch to say that she should have allowed her to marry Esav. Be it as it may, Rabbi Yaakov says that we see that Yaakovinu had this intention of sending the Malachim in order to see if Esav was ready for reunification. And he is put to task. He had Dina. Dina could have been a way of getting to Esav's heart, of causing him to come close to the family, come close to the way of Yaakovinu, the way of the Avos. And Yaakov is put to task for not allowing Esav and Dina to meet, to say the least, in this regard, to make this happen. What's the yisod that we see that Rav Yaakov is telling us? The yisod here is that in our encounters with Esav, in Yaakov's encounter with Esav, and our encounters with Esav, there are Esavs in the world. There's people that certainly seem like they're out to get us, but at the same time, we do believe in the vision of peace, the vision of brotherhood of mankind, the vision of lo yisagoy el goy cherev, that we that at a certain point in history, there will no longer be strife, there will no longer be divisiveness and hatred and war between enemies, there will no longer be enemies, there will be harmony. So the question is, in our world where we encounter those who are Esavs, to say the least, those who seem like they're coming out to get us, those who are ready to attack us, those who are full of antagonism and negativity towards us, maybe sometimes we need to send some malachim. Maybe sometimes we need to send dina. Maybe sometimes we need to do whatever we can to offer the possibility of unification and rectification and brotherhood and reconnection and forming that unity that we know is going to come sooner or later. Maybe it's now. And Yaakov Avinu gives that chance. He opens up that possibility that maybe now there will be the rectification with Esav. And I think that's such a major yesod for us in the Gullus and certainly in the historical perspective of reality. There's no secret that there are, have been, are, probably will still be those who are, like we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, those who are coming against us in every generation, they're out to get us, the Esavs, the Lavans, etc. Right? But people will come around. We believe in the goodness of man. We believe in the inherent goodness of man. And people will come around. Even Esav will come around. Yaakov was, that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is showing us over here, that Yaakov really believed that Esav would come around. And he sent those malachim to see maybe now, maybe finally, maybe Esav is ready to come around. And maybe for us also, when we encounter those who are adversaries on the personal scale, on the communal scale, on the global scale, maybe we need to send some malachim once in a while to see. Maybe people are ready for peace. Neighbors are ready for peace. Certainly, I think Baruch Hashem, we've seen on a global scale Israel's recent peace treaties with neighboring Arab kingdoms, like many beyond people's wildest dreams that Israel would make such peace, like we have in the Abraham Accords with United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. Maybe Saudi Arabia is in the making, which would be wild, absolutely incredible. Why? Because, maybe to say a little poetically, but because we sent malachim, because we went for it. We tried to see, is it ready for peace? Is it a time? Because it's going to happen. We have that haftacha, we have those prophecies, we have those nevuahs, that there will be peace. So the question is, are we looking for it? Are we sending malachim to see if now is maybe the time? Are we actively doing whatever we can to bring out that peace? And Amir Tashem, we should be zochah to see the complete rectification of all of enemies in the world, the enemies of Klal Yisrael and our enemies, all of all nations who are at odds with other nations, all people who are at odds with other people, communities who are at odds with other people. We should all be zochah to send our malachim to open up all kochos of connection that we have at our disposal, in order to connect. And in Mitzvah, we should be zochah to see complete reunification and rectification and harmony for the entire world. We'll stop here for today, and in Mitzvah, we'll continue with some more Divrei Torah in the coming days.